A few days later, the first deputation of suffragists ever to appear before a president to enlist his support for the passage of the National Suffrage Amendment waited upon President Wilson. Footnote. There had been individual visits to previous presidents. End of footnote. Miss Paul led the deputation. With her were Mrs. Genevieve Stone, wife of Congressman Stone of Illinois, Mrs. Harvey W. Wiley, Mrs. Ida Husted Harper, and Miss Mary Bartlett Dixon of Maryland. The president received the deputation in the White House offices. When the women entered, they found five chairs arranged in a row, with one chair in front, like a classroom. All confessed to being frightened when the president came in and took his seat at the head of the class. The president said he had no opinion on the subject of women's suffrage, that he had never given it any thought. Footnote. At Colorado Springs in 1911, when Mr. Wilson was governor of New Jersey and campaigning for the presidential nomination, a delegation of Colorado women asked him his position on women's suffrage. He said, "Ladies, this is a very arguable question, and my mind is in the midst of the argument." End of footnote. And that, above all, it was his task to see that Congress concentrated on the currency revision and the tariff reform. It is recorded that the president was somewhat taken aback when Miss Paul addressed him during the course of the interview with this query, "But, Mr. President, do you not understand that the administration has no right to legislate for currency, tariff, or any other reform without first getting the consent of women to these reforms?" Get the consent of women! It was evident that this course had not heretofore occurred to him. "This subject will receive my most careful consideration," was President Wilson's first suffrage promise. He was given time to consider, and a second deputation went to him, and still a third, asking him to include the suffrage amendment in his message to the new Congress, assembling in extra session the following month. And still he was obsessed with the paramount considerations of tariff and currency. He flatly said there would be no time to consider suffrage for women. But the unreasonable women kept right on insisting that the liberty of half the American people was paramount to tariff and currency. President Wilson's first session of Congress came together April 7, 1913. The opening day was marked by the suffragists' second mass demonstration. This time, women delegates representing every one of the 435 congressional districts in the country bore petitions from the constituencies showing that the people back home wanted the amendment passed. The delegates marched on Congress and were received with a warm welcome and their petitions presented to Congress. The same day, the amendment which bears the name of Susan B. Anthony, who drafted it in 1875, was reintroduced into both houses of Congress. The month of May saw monster demonstrations in many cities and villages throughout the country, with the direct result that in June, the Senate Committee on Suffrage made the first favorable report made by that committee in 21 years, thereby placing it on the Senate calendar for action. Not relaxing the pressure for a day, we organized the third great demonstration on the last of July, when a monster petition signed by hundreds of thousands of citizens was brought to the Senate, asking that body to pass the National Suffrage Amendment. Women from all parts of the country mobilized in the countryside of Maryland, where they were met with appropriate ceremonies by the Senate Women's Suffrage Committee. The delegation motored in gaily decorated automobiles to Washington and went direct to the Senate, where the entire day was given over to suffrage discussion. 22 senators spoke in favor of the amendment in presenting their petitions. 3 spoke against it. For the first time in 26 years, suffrage was actually debated in Congress. That day was historic. Speeches? Yes. Greetings? Yes. Present petitions from their constituents? Gladly. Report it from the Senate committee? They had to concede that. But passage of the amendment? That was beyond their contemplation. More pressure was necessary. We appealed to the women voters, of whom there were then 4 million, to come into action. 4 million women voters are watching you, we said to Congress. We might as well have said, there are in the South Sea Islands 4 million heathens. It was clear that these distant women voters had no relation in the senatorial mind to the realism of politics. We decided to bring some of these women voters to Washington. Having failed to get the Senate to act by August, we invited the Council of Women Voters to hold its convention in Washington, that Congress might learn this simple lesson. Women did vote. There were 4 million of them. They had a voters' organization. They cared about the enfranchisement of all American women. They wanted the Senate to act. Suffrage was no longer a moral problem. It could be made a practical political problem with which men and parties would have to reckon. Voting women made their first impression on Congress that summer. Meanwhile, the president's paramount issues, tariff and currency, had been disposed of. With the December Congress approaching, he was preparing another message. We went to him again. This time it was the women from his own home state, an influential deputation of 73 women, including the suffrage leaders from all suffrage organizations in New Jersey. The women urged him to include recommendation of the suffrage resolution in his message to the new Congress. He replied, "I am pleased, indeed, to greet you and your adherents here, and I will say to you that I was talking only yesterday with several members of Congress in regard to a suffrage committee in the House. The subject is one in which I am deeply interested, and you may rest assured that I will give it my earnest attention." In interesting himself in the formation of a special committee to sit on suffrage in the House, the President was doing the smallest thing, to be sure, that could be done, but he was doing something. This was a distinct advance. It was our task to press on until all the maze of congressional machinery had been used to exhaustion.